All right, we're ready to go.
Good evening, Rabbi Isai. Before the share, I want to make a very big pitch, even though the circumstances don't allow us to have a night of learning in the shul, but I'm encouraging everyone that we should devote as much time as possible, as long as possible, the night of Shavuos and throughout the Yom of Shavuos itself, the Limud HaTorah. Just because we don't have the opportunity to be in the shul should not lessen the amount of the Limud HaTorah that we're going to do. So as is Hashem, please figure out when you're going to learn, how you're going to learn, even though we have to learn, unfortunately, on our soul, by ourselves. You know, every day I have two chavrusas that I learn with, you know, by video. And unfortunately, whatever, yontiv, the nature of yontiv is such that we can't do that, so we're going to have to learn ourselves. We have to prepare how we're going to go about it. So let's start giving some thought to it so that we do the maximum amount of Talmud Torah on yontiv itself. Is it permissible to set a timer which will turn a crackpot on and off on Yom Tov? The answer to that is yes. There's no problem with the turning off or the turning on. It's no different than putting on the lights or anything else on Yom Tov itself, or as the case may be, on Yom Tov and off on Shabbos. You can put it off, it can go off on Shabbos too. Does the answer change if what happens if the crackpot will go on Shabbos day, even if one has no intention to use it again on Shabbos after it went off the first time? In other words, I'm going to put it on for Yom Tov, it'll go off, because the on button is going to hit again. It's a 24-hour timer, so on Shabbos it's going to go on. Even though I'm not planning to use it on Shabbos, there's no problem if it goes on. Are there any problems cooking from scratch, roast or cholent with a crock pot on Yom Tov for the Shabbos meal? In other words, I want to put up a crock pot on Friday for Shabbos, cholent for something else. And the main concern we have to have is a very simple thing. And that is that we have to put it up early enough in the day with the Erev Tov Shiva that it's at least half cooked by the time Shkia comes. If it's not half cooked, there's a major problem. The whole heter to use an Erev Tov Shiva is because the food is actually usable still on the first day of Yom Tov. It's according to the Gemara in Pesach and Memvav on the base. So consequently, we have to put it up early enough to cholent to whatever else we want to put up, that it will be ready to be eaten, at least half cooked, which the halacha considers is ready to be eaten before Shkia Sachava, before the sunset. Is one permitted to grill barbecue on Yom Tov, assuming fire is on before Yom Tov? You don't have to have the fire on before Yom Tov. If you're able to have a match, you know, a candle, and you can light the barbecue on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos, Chas v'Shalom, on Yom Tov. From an existing fire, you can light the barbecue on Yom Tov too and use it. The only problem is putting it off. So you don't want to have a big tank of propane that's going to go for hours and hours and days. And you don't want a fire going for that long. And you don't want to waste the amount of propane. In principle, you're allowed. I recently talked about the fact that in this conversation with Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal, that egg salad and tuna salad should be made before Shabbos. They shouldn't be made on Shabbos. So someone asked, would that apply to avocado salad as well, since avocado salad gets spoiled after a day, or when prepared on Shabbos? And the answer is no different. The question here is concerning a malacha d'oraisa, not the rabbanon, a malacha d'oraisa of losh, and therefore all of these types of salads have to be prepared before Shabbos. They should not be prepared on Shabbos. Now this is a shaila that's particularly a shaila of this year, that because of the fact that the kelim employees are still closed, and they haven't been closed for 2 months now, and particularly when Pesach came, people had all types of kelim utensils that they bought at that time, and they couldn't toivel them, so we arranged, as many other rabbanim across the country did, to sell these kelim to a non-Jew. Now, I did mention at the time that we should keep note, careful track of what we bought, because Be'ez Hashem, when we close open again, I'm going to buy all the kelim back from the non-Jew. And then one's going to have to actually go and be toivel them in a mikvah. So someone asked rather astutely what's going to happen. You know, a brand new kli is 100% clean. One that you've used for a while is a lot of times difficulty getting off every speck of dirt from it, you know, burned on oil or whatever which may be left on it. So would that constitute a chatzitza, which would disallow the tefillah? And we follow very simply that the halacha is that a miut, the eino makbid, if something covers only less than 50% of the tefillah, I'm not makbid, I don't care about it being there, then it does not constitute a chatzitza, a problem with the tefillah's kelim itself. So consequently, since we're normally talking with a few specks here and there that did not cover more than 50% of the body of the utensil, and we're talking obviously where the balabusta is not concerned to have them removed. Maybe she can't get them removed, but she's reconciled to that being, it doesn't disturb her. So then you can be toivel them even if they're not 100% cleanable. This is a very interesting question. If one is saying Kaddish for one's parent, can one also say Kaddish for one's grandparent who was Nifter during the same year? In other words, a person wants to say Kaddish for more than one person. One Lo'aleinu was his father and one is his grandfather. Rav Henkin, is a tzar, wrote that in principle he was not happy. In many places in the world they say Kaddish for numerous people, but he felt it's certainly strongly preferable to say Kaddish for one person, not to say Kaddish for more than one person at a time. However, he said, if the person saying the Kaddish is saying Kaddish for a parent, he can say Kaddish for a stranger at the same time, but not for two strangers. Why? Because the schus of saying Kaddish for a parent is that the parent left the child and does mitzvahs. That's the schus. It's not the l'shem in any mukhan that I'm saying that the child is saying Kaddish for him. It's that he left the child that does mitzvahs. And he said if he says Kaddish for someone else, he's also doing mitzvahs. It's the same schus Rav Henkin felt for the father. So certainly for the father and grandfather, one could say simultaneously. But certainly in Shachris, where there's more than one Kaddish, say one Kaddish for the father or one Kaddish for the grandfather. Now we have a halacha. The halacha is that the question is assumed something which is incorrect. The halacha is that if one starts to cook before Shabbos and it didn't reach a half cooked, or under extenuating circumstances, at least a third cooked, so one may not leave that on the fire as Shabbos begins, because we're afraid that one may become tempted to raise the fire to have the food be completed in time for the Friday night. And that's one of the two reasons we have for the blech. The idea of the blech is that as we approach the stovetop on Friday night, there's a differentiation between it and the normal mode of cooking, and that's to remind us, hey, this is Shabbos, hands off, don't touch. So if you have a blech, the halacha is you can put up something even if it was 1 second before Shabbos. But you have to be very careful. It's not a wise idea to do so. And Henkin's Atzal again noted in his Sefer Hayis Yisrael that the problem is we tend to open the pots and close them, move them around on the blech, and a pot which is not, where the food is not yet fully cooked, one cannot open it and close it, one cannot slide it around on the blech, because if I opened it and closed it, when I opened it, heat escapes. When I close it, I'm trapping the heat, and from that, I'm making it cook faster than it would have cooked while it was open. So consequently, that's a violation of Bishul on Shabbos. When I used to teach my Talmidim that were about 15, 16 years old now, the halachas of Bishul, they said, Rabbi, my mother does the cooking, what do I have to do with it? So I said, I'll teach you how to be Mechal Shabbos easily, effortlessly. Come home Friday night, you wonder what your mother made for Shabbos, open and close all the pots, and if one of them is not fully cooked, you were just Mechal Shabbos. So we don't like to put on things have them on the blech of Shabbos begins, even though it's technically permissible, because one has to be very, very careful not to move it to a hotter place, not to lift it up and put it down again, not to uncover it and cover it again. But if there is a blech, it is permissible to use it. Okay. Well, how to kasher, someone wants to know how to kasher you know, to make something fleishiks for milachiks, please refer to the share that I gave before Pesach, where I go into all the details of kasher and that. But a very interesting question on chumash sent in by someone today. And I will answer half the question. Half the question I don't know the answer to. I'll put the question in the sense that, in the way that I would take the question. In the census of Chumash Bamidbar, every Shevet's count is a multiple of 100, except for God, which is on 50. That's a very strange thing in and of itself, because mathematically the possibility of all the Shvatim coming out is very, very remote. So in the Sefer of Rechaim Kanevsky, Time of the Krog, he cites a Gemara in Bechiris, that all of these numbers were rounded. Anything less than 50 was put down to the 100th lower. Anything above 50 was put up to the 100 above it. And this is consistent with the Gemara in the first paragraph of Kedushin that says once we passed 1,500, we could write 2,000 to round it off. So he says all the Shvatim were rounded, and that's why they all wound up the hundreds. God was exactly at 50. And therefore, they couldn't round it up, but they couldn't round it down, so they left it as 50. That's what Chumash Bamidbar. We find a similar issue in Parshas Pinchas. Every Shevet's count is a multiple of 100, except for Reuven 30. And there I do not yet know the answer exactly why Reuven was counted as 30 in that particular counting. And I did look in the Sefer of Rechaim Kanevsky, the one in Time of the Krog, he does not address the issue. So that is to leave as an open question what the nature of that census was. Is it a mutter to use the canned whipped cream on Shabbos, Yom Tov? Yes, there is mutter to do so. But you should crack open the plastic tip before Shabbos. That's a request for making a plea, which is not permissible on Shabbos. May one drink iced coffee before Shabbos if it helps one its kavana? The answer is yes. I mean, one should not do it for indulgence sake, but if it helps one kavana, one's more awake because he drank an iced coffee before davening Shacharis, it's a good idea to do so. Practically, does one have to get undressed under his blanket cover? Now, if you learn Siman Gimel in the Shulchan Aruch is extremely makbid, extremely meticulous about how a person should get dressed, and a person should get dressed under the covers. There are things that are nice to do, but as a Moshe Feinstein knows, they are not obligations, they're not obligatory, they're midas chasidus, meaning they're lefnim mishuras adin items that the Shulchan Aruch included. By and large, what's mukubal today is when one changes one's underwear, undershorts, that one should do it in a very sneeristic fashion.
Okay.
Either it can be done in the bathroom where there's no limitation, or undoes being covered with something. Other than that, it's not the general practice nowadays to be mocked with that distance. Assuming that we're home for sure since they have to do the night's learning. Is davening Shacharis before Neitz an acceptable option? The question is, in other words, not having the strength of the tzibur around one, if one's going to daven Shacharis in that hour, and I guess he's, I presume he thinks he's going to daven, you know, I don't know why he doesn't go to a minyan, but if he's a Netz minyan, but if he's not part of a Netz minyan, I don't think that he should at least go to a minyan later. So I'm not sure why, who's davening before Netz this year. I just don't know where it's happening, you know. There are some shuls that have done it and they daven before Netz, and I was not a big fan of it. It was so medactic to stay up to Talmud Torah the entire night, to wait another little bit, to daven Shacharis. The daven Shacharis at the time, which is the Tatsul of a secret, is a Nixchus. If one is some type of Shasat Chak, can't daven, you can wait till the Netz to want to daven after Amar HaShachar, that's where Shasat Chak. The question, this is a recurring question. We know that it is the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes, cites the fact that the practice is to have a dairy meal somehow, some type of dairy meal on Shavuos. And how to do this, there are all types of different minhagim. Some have the dairy, and they take away the tablecloth, and they wash the hands and bring the luchala and have meat in the same meal. Some have dairy before the meal. Some have an entirely dairy meal. It's an endless, you know, slew of minhagim with many, many different reasons. Even the Chiddush Mishnah Berurah cites many reasons for it. And how should one do this? And I don't know what it does have to do with eating meat for Simchas HaRegel. And the answer is follow your minhag. Whatever your minhag of your mishpacha is, it's the side of a kodesh, and just keep following it. That's what we have to do. What is the Rav's opinion about washing our hands in the restaurants today? For negel vasa, in the morning, it's permissible, and for a suda, one should not wash in the restaurant. If you have an ice maker, are you allowed, and the ice maker is full, even if the ice maker is on, you didn't shut it off, can you take a few ice cubes out? Now the answer to that is, if you're at a point that it's not definitely going to take go on, but you're taking out some ice, if it's quite full, taking a few ice cubes out is not going to make it go on. It's 100% mutter to take out ice on Shabbos for you. This is a very important question that deals with the halacha in the beginning in the halachas of Bosa v'cholam and Yerushal Panach Yerodea. Can we use leftover challah from a milchut meal for a fleishig meal if the challah doesn't touch the table? Or from a fleishig meal, we want to make French toast Sunday morning. No one's found anything better than challah to make French toast. So if you want to make French toast Sunday morning, then use the leftover challah. And the answer is that if it was not around the table, if it only was, let's say, on the challah board, and only the balabayas was the one that took care of it, and he was meticulous to be very careful that his hands are clean, then Rav Moshe Feinstein allowed it to be used, to be switched from a milchut meal to the next fleishig meal, or vice versa. But if it was around the table, so therefore it may have been touched by someone just inadvertently in the middle of the meal, so the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch says that what's left over from a fleishig meal cannot be used in a milchut meal. You know, there are some shaylos that come up. You know, the world became a small place today. In earlier days, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, the world was a very big place. What went on in my town, I knew. What went on even in the next shtetl, who knew. What went on in the next country or the next continent, I never heard of in my life. Now, Baruch Hashem, the world is a small place. We have air travel. We travel around the world. We come up and back. We constantly meet people that come up and back. In Eretz Yisrael, they have a whole commotion that they don't want to light a yahrzeit candle on Yom Tov itself. So they light the yahrzeit candle before Yom Tov. So then they started a whole tumult. Well, maybe in Chutz La'aretz, why are we lighting a yahrzeit candle on Yom Tov itself? Maybe we should light a candle before Yom Tov. Well, it doesn't go out, so we'll light a two-day candle. So this is a very interesting thing. The Gedolim that lived in Chutz La'aretz gave a Teirim to light Yahrzeit candles on Yom Tov itself. They considered it a Dvar Mitzvah to some extent, and therefore it's Mutter. And the ones that live in Eretz Yisrael will tell you to light before because they have a one-day Yom Tov. So we live in Chutz La'aretz, we follow the Gedolim of Chutz La'aretz, and we rather light Yahrzeit candles on Yom Tov itself. Now, but it has... But you can't light a candle, you know, if you want to have, for example, this year is not so relevant because this year is not, let's say you have, like we had Pesach, a three-day Yom Tov. So the three-day Yom Tov, the Yom Tov started Wednesday night. Now I wanted something to light a candle with, to light the neighbors with on Friday afternoon, 2 days later. So can I light the candle, light it Wednesday afternoon as Yom Tov begins? Thursday afternoon, before the first one comes out of light, another 24-hour candle. And consequently, when I get to Friday, I will have a candle going to light the Neir Shabbos. So that you can't do, because I'm lighting from one day of Yom Tov to the first day of Yom Tov to the second day of Yom Tov. So that you can't do. But in our situation, where I'm lighting on the second day or at the end of the first day, on the second day, for the Yahrzeit of the second day, so certainly one could light. That's the Tzorach of Yom Tov. Light at that time. And here we also have an Erev Tshilin, so the light from Friday to Shabbos is not an issue. So, now I want to go on. The question is, we're trying very, very much as Baruch Hashem will renew the Minyanim. So one of the big things that all the Rabbanim all over the world have discussed is how to maintain proper social distancing in the context of a Minyan. So we've addressed already the issues of how to conduct the Kriyas HaTorah. What about the Kohen washing his hands? Normally the Levi comes to wash his hands. And the answer is the Kohen should wash his own hands. He doesn't have to have a Levi, and the Levi should not come. If a Kohen goes to an outdoor Minyan, either there should be a faucet that he can use, or he should bring his own bottle, water bottle with him, and go out to the sidewalk and wash his hands or whatever in a suitable place where it's not going to go on the lawn, and then go about the duchen. And by the duchen, he should stand in the front of the shul with the talis over his head. Because the halacha is that the one that is standing behind him in the shul will not receive the bracha. Is it mutter, minig, osra, do laundry on Motzei Shabbos? Women oftentimes, some women don't do laundry on Motzei Shabbos. There's no Easter at all to do laundry on Motzei Shabbos. So if a woman has a minig not to do so, she shouldn't do it. But anyone else in her family is certainly allowed to do it. Should one change one's clothes on Motzei Shabbos, meaning to say when Shabbos ends, do I have to want to take my Shabbos clothes off because there's a couple of Shabbos? And I believe that Rabbi Yoshua did not do so until he was ready to go to sleep. Motzei Shabbos is also, it's a time of Malav Malka, but it's also an Indian of Kabbal Shabbos. This is a COVID-19 Shiloh. We're only allowed to carry things which serve a universal need on Yom Kippur. So medicines, as I mentioned previously, one cannot carry medicine on Yom Kippur unless there's an Eruv. Someone is asking if he goes to a place where there's no Eruv, he wants to know, can he carry a mask, gloves, and Purell on Yom Kippur, considering what's the status of it. And I would think that the gloves and the mask it can carry, because simply the heptad to wear the gloves and the mask is they're a beggar. They're an article of clothing according to the halacha, and therefore one can carry one's clothing in one's pocket. The Purell, I'm not convinced, is mutter. So if one wants to have Purell while one's going on Yom Kippur, they don't have it there, bring your own before you. Now, are you allowed to take home a sitter from an outdoor menu just to protect it? There's no use for that day, and how about if there's no air? Now, halachas, this is a very old child carrying home the siddur, and where the shukharav, where the achronim talk about it in a very fascinating place. They wanted to know what happened when one went to tashlich at the end of the first day of Yom Tov. Now, to come home with the machzor, they were not going to use the machzor until the second night of Yom Tov, so they were no longer, they davened already musaf, they davened mincha. Now they were doing tashlich. So they would no longer use the machzor on the first day of Yom Tov. So could they carry the machzor home from Tashlich? This is the shayla that I believe even the Magen Avraham already raised. And the Achronim gave a very fascinating formulation for this. If you told the person, listen, you go with your Rosh Hashanah machzor and go up to Willow Lake and say Tashlich. But when you finish, you have to leave your machzor there in a plastic bag and pick it up after Yom Tov. But on the second day Yom Tov back to Willow Lake, no one's going to go to Willow Lake under those circumstances and bring his machzor to be able to recite the Tefillos. So therefore, the Achronim said, the heter to allow him to come back is necessary because otherwise he won't go in the first place. So it's part of the heter of the Dvar Mitzvah. And therefore, it's mutter. The halacha states that it's mutter. And therefore, it's not an issue to carry your siddur back if you carried it with you on Yom Tov, shul. And you're afraid to leave it there, you carry it to an outdoor minyan, you certainly don't want to leave it. Then you're allowed to take it home, even if there was no air. I would think that normally on a two-day Yom Tov, if you want, should light the yahrzeit candle after Tzeis HaKavanah. Because the day of the Yizkor is the second day of Yom Tov. And on an Erev Tov Shilin day, you can light it before.
Everybody, we're doing the live questions. Raise your hand.
We have only about 12 minutes for the questions because there's another share from the shul that has to come on after this. So
go to the participants and raise your hand virtually.
Richie Gavanta.
This is
one
second.
You're live.
You have to unmute again.
Remuted. Unmute again.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
My daughter wanted to ask this question. She, my single daughter, and she makes challah, so she says the giratzon. Some parts of it are really more meant, or the nusach is more for someone with a husband and children. Can she just say that nusach?
No, I'll leave out that part. Well, if she wants, she could say to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, she'll give her in the proper time, the proper husband and the proper children. One of the two.
So she should have that. She should say that nusach and have it in mind.
She should say if she doesn't, if she should change it slightly that at the right time she should have, you know, a proper husband and a good children. Or if not, she could leave out. Okay, who else? Richie Corker.
You gotta unmute.
Issa.
Yeah, somebody asked me to ask you this. He's a kayin, and his house is right next door to the shul, and he sees in the window of the shul, can see the Aron Kodesh, he can see the people sitting up front, and they can see him. So he gives me b'tzarif to the minyan. He wanted to know, but he stays on his porch or on his mepeset. He wants to know if he can duchen from his mepeset on Yom Tov. For the people in the shul.
Where is he relative? Is he behind them, in front of them? Where is
he? He could probably position himself more closer to the front, I guess. If you draw a line, you know.
L'chaira, I don't know. I'm not really 100% William, you know.
I mean, he's mature for everything else in the minyan.
Yeah, so the Chayri could be mature for him, but I'm not, as I say, I don't want to give up. I'm not lower Yanti into this part of the problem of porch minyanim. My idea is that he's allowed to do it and he can make the bracha.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my anatia. I believe in Eretz Yisrael, that's what they do.
He should be, and he should try to stand at a point where he's, you know,
at least nobody's behind him.
Right. Yeah, one other quick thing.
Yeah. Okay. I got that problem solved. First, a practical solution for the ice maker issue, and that's just the Arab Shabbos to fill up a Ziploc bag with ice from the ice maker and leave it in your freezer. It'll be just fine. That's a practical solution. The other question I had is last Friday in the afternoon, I filled up a plastic sugar bowl, and it was very high, and I closed it. Shabbos morning, I opened it up. And the lettering from the company, Glad, whatever, was imprinted onto the sugar. So the question is, first of all, can you take sugar from there? And if not, if sugar on the side, when you put the cover back, you might displace the lettering also. So is there any worry?
There's a problem. I would not use a chalice. It's a problem with mechika.
Okay.
I think you're correct.
Okay.
Akiva Meyer Katz.
Unmute.
Okay. Am I unmuted now?
Okay. Yes, good.
Hi, Rob.
How are you?
Shalom Aleichem.
Good to see you.
I'm good. Good to see you both too. One question about the app Shira Lee and what are the
Gedolim. I don't know what it is. So I can't answer.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea what it is.
And what is the what are the gedarim of saying Hatova, the bracha of Hatova Meitiv?
Hatova Meitiv, you will never figure it out. I'm hoping to, because if you learn the Mishnah Brura, there are three blatant contradictions internally within the Siman, and some of them are Shlomo Zalman Auerbach asked. There are three. I have a written piece which Zachis, the Rabbeinu Shalom, was very kind that I was able, after a great deal of work, to come to a pshat. And at some point, I'm going to put it out. But as I said, learning the Mishnah Berurah, you will not figure it out. And it's not, there are too many details to just, right? There are too many details.
So the Pashas is
that our regal achas. So at some point, it's very, that you're confused, I know, because that's what I'm telling you. You will not figure it out, because there are three places that are in contradiction within the Mishnah Berurah itself, on one page and a page and a half. So, but as is Hashem, at some point, I hope to put out something maybe to clarify it. But there are many, many details that you have to keep in mind. So it doesn't happen too often anymore.
Can I ask one more, just to get?
I gotta go to someone.
Okay, thank you.
Dvorah's iPhone, whoever that may be. Dvorah. Dvorah's iPhone, please unmute.
I read my hand. Right.
Yeah. Rabbi Schwartz.
Yes. So my question is, I'm a high risk COVID patient if I were to catch the virus. So because of that, I have only been davening in outdoor minyanim. I would like to stay up all night Shavuos night, but there are no outdoor minyanim at 4:45 in the morning. My question is it better not to stay up learning and to go to an 8:45 minyan, or to stay up learning and daven biyichidus at 4:45?
Well, I would tell you, go to sleep when you finish learning, and then get up later and then daven with a minyan.
To learn for a few hours and go to sleep.
What?
To learn for a few hours and then go to sleep.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Ronnie Schlanger. Ronnie.
Thank you. It's a question I wrote in, but I don't know if the Rav got to it. I came a little late. It had to do with the fact that when I was davening at home, it took me longer to daven. I davened slower and had more kavana than when we davened with a minyan. So now, too, I find that the pace, even now, is quicker than when I did before. So I'm torn. Which is better, to daven with more kavana at home or daven with a minyan but daven faster?
Daven with a minyan, and if you want to daven slower, there was a yid, the first Talmid of Moshe Feinstein in the United States. His name was Rabbi Zvulun Lasher. He's a tzaddik l'vracha. He lived a block away from Chofetz Chaim, and he davened very slowly, and he used to come about 15 minutes before the minyan. Now, he davened at the minyan that started about 6:20 in the morning, something like that. And he came about 15 minutes before the minyan, and he started the daven, and he davened as slowly as he wanted, and it's Shmon Esra, he all wound up together with everybody else.
Thank you.
Yoni Katz.
Okay, hi Rabbi. Good evening. Question on Shabbos. Is there a machlokas between Ashkenazim and Sephardim about tearing words on a package that's for food? And also, how are we knowing, related, how are we knowing to open like a sweet and low packet on Shabbos?
I don't know that there's a machlokas in about it. There's a lot of different shittas. The lachatchila minig is to be very careful not to tear letters on Shabbos. And what you should do is take a knife. So you cut it in a place that doesn't have letters. That's what, and then therefore you won't have any problem. Yeah, you can cut it in any place on the envelope. Take a place that has no writing. Just make a line with the knife. Tear it, cut it open.
Okay.
Thank you. We have 2 minutes left. Isa.
Okay, when I'm home on Shabbos, I bench lift, and when I'm hardly home on Yontif, but I'll be home on Yontif. I was wondering, I saw something in your sefer that threw me off. The question is, Do I make the Shechianu when I make Kiddush, or do I make the Shechianu when
a
I make Kiddush?
A man makes the Shechianu by Kiddush, not by Bokas Nedarim.
So I should skip it. That's what I had been doing. I saw in your sefer there that at least by Noshim you say that they shouldn't.
Noshim is something else.
But your reason is because if they have to make Kiddush also, but they should make the Shechianu by the first mitzvah that they encounter on Yontif.
That's true. That's the reason. But since that is a minute, it's not the men don't have that minute. So may I dinner may equal the dinner to make it by Kiddush. Last question of Benachem.
Unmute.
Benachem, unmute.
I started to daven in a outdoor minyan, and there was pushback from some of the non-Jews living there. Should we continue that minyan?
What was the pushback? What was their problem?
Noise.
At what hour of the day?
Well, people started thinking about having 10:30 minyanim at 10:30 for Maariv and other...
Yeah. You know, you should do it at a time which makes the least disruption for your neighbors. You know, you don't have to have a chazan that shouts. You shouldn't talk. Just daven. And it's a minimal amount of, you know, I have a minyan outdoors. We make the minyan at 8 o'clock. We have minyan tomorrow, and that's it. We get out of it. You know, and I encourage the people not to disturb the neighbors, to keep all talking in the outside to a minimum, not to be conversing. So I think under those circumstances that we have a right to make a minyan, or you have to have the maximum sensitivity, make it as early at night as possible, in the morning, not at 6 o'clock in the morning outside people's house. And we shouldn't be making noise outside. We should be davening. The only voice that should be heard is the chazan, and it shouldn't be overly loud, just enough for the people to hear.
In Montreal, the Hasidim, who are having all kinds of problems with their neighbors, baked cookies for the people that they were davening all through the coronavirus. They baked cookies, and it made such a kiddush Hashem because they gave the neighbors the cookies.
Listen, you know the old Yiddish expression, Rabbi Nachum, as mishmiret fortman.
Huh?
As mishmiret fortman.
Oh, yeah.
Rabbi Yisrael, there's another share about to begin. I wish everyone a very, very good yontif. And I hope that, as Hashem, there's a share coming from my son-in-law, Rabbi Uri Becker, which is always top-notch. And as Hashem, tomorrow night at 6:30, I will give a share, which I normally would have given on Shavuos night, tomorrow night, which has to do with the topic of Simchas Yontif. Tomorrow, Makom was sent out already. And as Hashem said, the preparation for the shir will be from 6:30 to 7:15 on the Zoom, in what's called breakout rooms. And then the shir actually itself will begin at 7:15. So I'll see you tomorrow, and have a great Yom Tov. Stay well, and may the Rabbeinu Shem grant that we should actually get past this problem that we have, and be zeicha to go back to a normal type of living where we meet each other in shir.
Thank you.